It's good to see everybody. Wow. I mean, he does deserve all the glory and the honor. He is so great. Does miracles. Okay, let's see if I can get this thing to work. So we're going to continue in the words of Jesus. We're going to back up just a little bit and catch up right where Pastor left off. So I'm just going back a few slides. But, you know, we're dealing with being born again, and what does it mean? And what does the Bible say about how to be born again? And we got that from that John 3:3. And I'll just read it right quick, because these are the two points that we are addressing. And I think, pretty sure tonight we're going to close the... About being born again, what does it mean? If we're going to start on the kingdom of Yahweh, what it says in that the latter part of that John 3:3. It says, Yeshua answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. And he's speaking to Nicodemus. He came to him at night. And he says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. And then, so Pastor started that, you know, about being born again and what does it mean and what the Bible says about it. So in Matthew 13:18-19, it says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catch it away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So you can see how important it is to understand about being born again and understand what he's talking about when he says the kingdom of Yahweh. Because he says if you don't understand, that's when the wicked one comes. The seed that the sower sows is the word of Elohim, which is the word of the kingdom. The devil steals that word away from those who do not receive it, like the seed by the wayside. Others receive the word and retain it for a short time, but fall away with tribulation or persecution when tribulation or persecution arises, like the seed on stony ground with no roots. Some others receive the word but are distracted by cares and riches of this world, like the seed on thorny grounds. That's why it's so important to go back over and over and over, rehearse it, because you don't get it all in one setting. You're gonna. I forgot how long was the attention span that, you know, Pastor gave us the illustration of, but it wasn't very long. And then, you know, your mind start, you know, you're thinking about other things. And that's just what the enemy does. You know, he'll let you listen for a little while, then he'll throw a thought in your mind. And you next thing you know, you're in left field, thinking about something else. Or like it says, the cares of the world. Man, I got work tomorrow. Oh, man, what about this bill? This bill is late. That's what it's talking about when it said the word that are distracted by the cares and riches of this world. The last category is those who receive the seed on good ground and bear fruit. This parable is considered by Yeshua to be the foundation of all the other parables. Know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? And that's Mark 4:13. The new birth which we partake of now is based on the seed of the kingdom gospel and is a foretaste of the ultimate restoration. All of that will be accomplished when Elohim brings his kingdom to pass on earth. He's bringing it to pass on earth. Some people don't agree with that. But we know that studying the scripture, you know, thoroughly, it taking our time with it, it explains that. It presents the foundational truth of how to be saved or have eternal life, which begins with the intelligent reception of the gospel of the kingdom of Yahweh. The references of being born of seed in the epistles are to be understood in this light. The seed is the gospel of the kingdom, and believing that gospel is the key to eternal life and the new birth. Part of the hope of the gospel is that one day the world will be restored to its original state when Messiah rules in Yahweh's kingdom. Yeshua refers to this in Matthew and uses another word for the same root as geneno, the word of born, for born or begotten. Matthew 19:28, it says, "And Yeshua said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in that regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The word palingenesy is only used twice in the Bible. Once is the reference to the regeneration of the world to come, which we just seen, and the other, and one other place in Titus. Titus 3:1-7. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, shewing all meekness unto all men. It's telling us how we should live, the things that we should do. Because what are we learning? Understanding the words of Jesus. And this is what he does. This is what he did. He showed no evil to man. He wasn't to be no brawler. He was gentle. He showed meekness. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." You know, sometimes we want to, like, why they ain't got it? Why they not doing what we doing? You know, just remember, we was deceived at one time. We didn't have all what we had 10 years ago. We did some hateful things. But after that kindness and love of Elohim, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Not by works which we have done. According to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly. Remember that. Because I put something in here that talks about that shedding. Which he shed on us abundantly through Yeshua Messiah, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And this is where Pastor Step stopped that. So this is where I will take off. By the power of the Holy Spirit, our sins are washed clean because of the shed blood of Yeshua. Abundantly. That's that abundantly shed for us. He abundantly shed his blood. In these two occurrences of this word, we see the two instances of regeneration. The world will be regenerated when Yahweh's kingdom come to pass. And in the meantime, we experience a foretaste of it in our own lives as we are regenerated by the Word and renewed by the Holy Spirit. We are regenerated by the word. When a person hears the gospel, believes it, and repents, that word is implanted in his heart. At that point, a regeneration process begins, which continues working in him with a view to inheriting eternal life. It will be completed when Christ returns and we put on immortality. But only when he was going to return. See, it's in the process. We're still going through a process. This process that changes us from the way we once were begins with receiving, understanding, and believing the word about the kingdom of Yahweh, which is the gospel that Yeshua and his disciples preached. So that's a process that we're going through, and it's something that we have to do. We got to receive it, understand, and believe it. Throughout Acts, when people believed that gospel, they were called to repent. And to repent does not just mean to stop sinning, although that would be a result, which, you know, you kind of, well, when you repent, I thought that means you don't sin no more. Well, that's not the case. But no one will be completely free from sin until Yeshua returns. Now, that don't mean you go out and do it deliberately. You know, things happen. You might have a bad day one time. You might say something that you shouldn't say. But when Yeshua returns, you're going to be free from all that. The word repent means to turn. Specifically, it is to turn your heart away from your past sinful life and to turn it towards Elohim. It is not salvation by works, but it is a turning toward Elohim in response to the wonderful news of his coming kingdom. From that point on, you are living with a whole new purpose. How many can testify to that before you got saved? And now that you're saved, it's a different purpose. You have a different look on life than what you had back then. And what Jeremiah 29, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. This is what is meant by confessing Yeshua as Lord, referred to in Romans 10:9. In order to confess him as Lord, you must know what he is Lord of. You must know who he is and what he is all about. And you must know who he is. You know, you think about when John the Baptist was baptizing him, he said, the heavens opened up. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So we know who he is. We know he is the son of the Most High. What he's all about. He said in the beginning, when he was 12 years old, he told his parents what he was all about. He said, how you don't know what I'm about? He said, I'm about my father's business. Where do you think I was at? I'm in the temple. So we know who he is and what he was about. At the age of 12, he laid that out right then and there, what he was all about. I'm about my father's business. All this must be understood in order to make Yeshua Lord. It is not enough to just say Yeshua is Lord if you don't know what that entails. And knowing what that entails includes knowing what is asked of you. Namely, to repent or turn your heart towards Elohim and decide to live in the light of the gospel of the kingdom. So listen, and knowing what it entails includes knowing what is asked of you. So that's something that we got to do. That's stuff that we must do. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Master Yeshua, and shall believe in thine heart that Yahweh had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we have to confess what it said, who he is, and what he's about. It also says to believe Yahweh raised him, Yeshua, from the dead. The proof that he is the Messiah is that he was raised from the dead. And we're going to read Matthew 12, 39 through 40, Matthew 16, 4, Acts 17, 30 and 31, Romans 1, 1 through 4, and 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 24. Matthew 12, 39 and 40. And he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." And who he's speaking to right here, he's speaking to the Pharisees, because they want a sign for him to prove who he is. Like, this, you know, the heavens opening up and the voice of Elohim saying that this is my beloved son wasn't good enough. He said, "And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So he said, "I'm going to give y'all a sign. I'm going to lay my life down. And in 3 days, my Father's going to raise me. You want a sign? I'm about to give you one. Ain't going to be no healing. I'm not going to give sight to the blind. You want a sign? I'm going to give y'all one." Matthew 16, 4. "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed." Acts 17, 30 and 31. "In the times of this ignorance, Elohim winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent." And I'm going to explain that. "Because he had appointed a day in the which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man, Yeshua, whom he, Yahweh, had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men, in that he had raised him from the dead." So that's that sign they wanted. They give us that assurance that, hey, this is how you're going to know that this is the Messiah. Yahweh winks or overlooks sin committed through ignorance. Yeshua said the blind have no sin. John 9:41 and John 15:22. John 9:41. "Yeshua said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." John 15:22. "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin." They have no excuses. That's what cloak means. No excuses for their sin. However, once one is aware of one's sin, a responsibility to repent and live according to the teachings of Messiah, which mirrored that of his father, becomes necessary. Because what he said, these words that I speak are not my own. They're my father's words. He mirrored that. So once that, he says, it's in the Torah, or it's in the Brit Hadashah, but it referenced the Torah about how would I know not to covet if the law had not told me not to covet. So once you know, it's our responsibility to repent and live according to the teachings of Messiah. John 8:28. "Then said Yeshua unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father had taught me, I speak these things." Always doing the will of the Father, never his own. John 14:31. "But that the world may know that I love the Father, And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go at once. As the Father gave me a commandment, even so I do. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in Yahweh. Walk as children of light. Because that's what Yeshua did. And if that he's our rabbi and we're supposed to follow him, this is what he did. He was in the light of Yahweh and he walked as a child of the light. Romans 1:1-4. Paul, a servant of Yeshua, Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated unto the good news of Elohim, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son Yeshua, Messiah, our Master, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of Yahweh with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:12-24. Now if Messiah be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Messiah not risen? And if Messiah be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Remember, we have to believe. Yea, we are found false witnesses of Elohim, because we have testified of Elohim that he raised up Messiah, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Messiah raised? And if Messiah be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Messiah are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Messiah, we are of all men most miserable. But now in Messiah, risen from the dead, and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came a death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Messiah shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Messiah the first fruits, afterward they that are Messiahs at his coming. And that's our hope, as you want to say. That's our sign that we want. Like he said, you wanted a sign, I'm going to give you a sign. You adulterous and wicked people. 3 days, it's going to be the sign of Jonas. But you got to believe. There's people that don't believe that he came and risen. Still to this day. Just like it was back in Yeshua's day. They don't believe it. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. And this is where we're going to start tomorrow. That was the end of what it takes to be born again, and what the Bible says about how to be born again. So if you want to, it ain't posted, but last Sunday and you posted it, and today's, that's going to explain what we just talked about in that first part of that John 3:3. And we're going to cover this part of the John 3:3. What is this kingdom of Yahweh? What is this kingdom of Yahweh and what it takes for us to make it in that kingdom? So that's all I have for tonight. Anybody have any prayer requests? Anybody need? Yep. Yep. Let's remember Tasha. And I don't know the dad's name. Aaron. Let's remember their daughter. This question got brought up in Bible study also. What about all these little kids? Why is that happening? You know, we don't know why, but we know that because one man sinned, death entered to the world, and that includes sickness, diseases, just all of that. But one thing we know, that he's God and he never fails. You know, we don't know the reasons why. We don't have all the answers to that, but we do know that he is who he is. And he said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." Can he heal? Absolutely. He's got the power and the right and authority to heal whoever he wants. We just have to trust him. And, you know, I guess sometimes that's the hardest thing, especially when you're a parent and you see that. Especially when you're an unbeliever. That's the key. When you're an unbeliever and your child's going through that. You know, for a believer, you have something to grab onto. You got the word. You know, and you can go to it, and it can be, you know, it can be uplifting for you. But when you're an unbeliever, and then, you know, you're going through this, it's difficult. You want these answers. You get all these questions come in your mind. You need answers, and you're searching for answers. And, you know, it is what it is. And it still don't change the fact of who he is. So, yeah, let's remember Caitlin, and let's remember her parents. You know, just that God has just given them strength, peace about this whole situation. And, you know, if they're not saved, then salvation comes to them. But, yeah, let's remember them. Let's remember all our church families that's on the road traveling, that's done made it. Some of them still traveling. Those that have made it might have been, done got on the boat and all this other good stuff, that they just enjoy themselves, you know, have a good time. So it's so nice to go and enjoy family, you know, it's just to relax. So let's just pray that they have a good trip, you know, and just really, really, and spend time with each other. Yes, and yep, he did call. He was in a little pain with his eyes. He had that LASIK surgery. So, yeah, let's remember Brother Herm, and also that just speedy recovery. Because he's got a teach coming up, so we're going to need them eyes to be working as soon as possible. So, yeah, Brother Herman and Caitlin, Uncle John, you told me last Sunday he was suffering with his legs. They don't know why, but he's having pains in his legs. Just that, you know, the Lord touch his body, touch his mind, because when you're suffering like that, you know, the enemy, he'll throw doubt quick. You know, where he's at? Where's this guy that you worship and sang about and talked about all these years? Now you going through these pains, huh? Why he's not healing if he's a miracle worker? All them doubts, they come. So, yeah, we're going to believe that Uncle John's legs are just, you know, yes. That's right. Amen. So, yeah, we're going to believe that his eyes are being lightened to know what is his hope and calling. Because he still has a hope and calling. Just because you have an age, that don't mean you don't have a hope and calling. I mean, you got a job. You got kids. You got a wife. You know, you be the man and the man of the house and the priest of the home that the Lord expects you to be. So, yeah, not only, like she said, not only his physical, but his spiritual needs also. Anybody else? Okay, well, we want to pray and then we'll dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, we just want to thank you for tonight, Lord. We want to thank you for everything that you do for us day in and day out. We just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. We thank you for your word, Father, Lord God, that we get to take part in. We ask you just for more wisdom and more knowledge and understanding of your word. As we go through the words of Jesus, Father, Lord God, our rabbi, we see that he served you. He never got out of his will, out of your will. He always stayed in your will. Everything was to do your will, your will. And what a life that he lived. And we just want to mirror that life that he mirrored of you. So we just thank you and love you and appreciate you, Father, Lord God. You see Caitlin's parents, Lord God, as they're going through what they're going through, Lord. We just pray for peace of mind. We just pray for salvation and strength, Lord, that they may have. And that they'll look to each other for their strength, but also they'll look to you, Father, Lord God, and just give them the peace that passes all understanding. You see Brother Herman, Father, Lord God, the surgery that he just had with his eyes, Father, Lord God, we pray for comfort. And we pray for a speedy recovery, Lord. And we pray to keep your hand of protection over his mind also, Father, Lord God, that, you know, you just keep him and make sure that any doubt that the enemy try to throw at him, that he'll go to the word on it. And he'll just, you know, he'll take it captive. You see Uncle John and his body, Father, Lord God, not only his physical healing, Father, Lord God, but a spiritual healing, Lord. And he's going to be the man that you call him to be, the priest of his home, Father. You touch his mind. Open up, touch his eyes and open up that it be enlightened and that he'll know what his hope and calling is. And that's just to serve you no matter what we go through in life. One thing never changed. You're God no matter what. And you're God all by yourself. And we just love you and appreciate you. You see all our families, church family that's traveling. Father, Lord God, we just pray for safe travels and they'll just have a wonderful time enjoying each other and that you just bring them back home safely and just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen.